Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry: the Bahamas and USA.
I was at my parents' FaceTiming when my fiancé from France, and I was in a bikini, got stung right between my upper inner thigh.
That's called the vagina.
Right?
My vagina.
Hi, Biscuits. Welcome back to another episode of
Tea Time.
I am Miranda Mayday.
And I'm Raven Simone.
Today on the show, you guys, we have an amazing guest. I'm so excited for you to see this episode. He is funny, charismatic, smart, wise. He has an amazing energy, really just good vibes all around. But first, we got to talk about us, babes.
Yeah, let's talk about us, babes. Let's talk about us. What do you talk about us for?
I don't know. I mean, we talk a lot. We talk all the time because we're married. How's that sweater treating you?
I've been obsessed with this sweater.
I know.
I have a new obsession with the clothing line IRE. When I tell you, I will never let anybody touch this sweater. This fits so well. It's large.
Except Austin. What up, Austin?
What up, Austin, brother? But the reason I love this sweater is because I can wear it in the summertime and I'm cool, but I can also wear it in the winter and it keeps me warm. It's oversized. It's chic.
It's what?
It's chic.
Is what? Say it louder for the people in the back.
It's chic. I learned what that word is from my wife.
Yeah, Biscuits, we had a whole thing about the word chic because I... When Raven asked me questions about, you know, what do you want to be? What do you want to look like in your style? What do you want the house? I'd be like, just chic. Just chic. She said, what does chic mean?
What does chic mean? I just wanted an explanation. But this is my sweater chic?
For sure, babe.
Thanks very much. IRE, the company, love him. He's on Instagram. Thank you so much, Drew. But all of his clothes, natural fabrics, well-made, designed to a T, feels very authentic, feels very intentional.
It is.
It is very intentional. It is very androgynous. Like I said, my brother came over and I was like, try this on. And it looks great on everyone in their own way. You know, sometimes you can put a bomber jacket on and a bomber jacket just looks like a bomber jacket. But I feel like when you put on an IRE outfit, the clothes don't wear you, you wear it. Mm-hmm. And it's a collaboration between you and the clothing.
Yeah.
I will wear his stuff over and over and over again. I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. IRE, love it, love it.
The thing about IRE, knowing Drew is our friend who is the creator of this line. Knowing Drew and his personality.
Philosophy.
His philosophy on life, it makes total sense that it would be represented and translated into his clothing and his style because he's just such a good guy. He and Michaela, his wife, and Michaela is my bestie and does my hair.
And we love your family.
We love the Curry family so much, but they are just the type of people that work so hard and their work is also wrapped with love. Like there's so much, like you said, intentionality in it that therefore when you put that sweater on, you're not just wearing the clothes. It's like there's a story behind it that's fabric that is, it's alpaca that I think he got in Tibet that then is like woven by hand and la la la.
There's some monks somewhere involved in the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really created a line that I can stand behind that I am proud to wear his clothing. I don't know if you guys are following us on our socials, but I went to the Michael premiere.
Oh yeah.
In Los Angeles and I wore his outfit. It was a blue raw silk two-piece. oh, I just felt so comfortable, but also beautiful. And, you know, I've been in this industry for about 40 years now, and I have gone on carpets where I've had 6-inch heels, a Spanx, a corset, and a sports bra with a wire. It's just been a mess. But with him, I feel good and clean and fashionable, but not cumbersome and not in a straitjacket. So I'm obsessed with Iray.
Mm.
What about you? What can you tell the biscuits that you have been doing this week so that they know who you are right now, just this week?
Biscuits. I rebound every day.
Yes, it's true.
I rebound every day. And if you don't know what that means, it means I jump on a trampoline. And I love my rebounder. I do it for fun. I do it for mood. I do it for lymphatic drainage. And I will tell you, it's really crazy. I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I'm tired. I'm kind of cold. Within 30 seconds of starting to rebound, my mood changes. I'm like, hello, I'm alive. Here we go. Things are happening. And I rebound so hardcore that I always end up breaking my rebounder. No trampoline has lasted longer than a year.
None of them. She's had, what is this, your fourth one?
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's really
fun. We've been married for 6 years.
When the bungees start popping off, because it's actually terrifying when you're mid-jump and then you hit and then you hear the pop and then it like the spring, it's not a spring, it's the elastic goes.
Bungee cord.
Yeah. And then I end up losing bungee cords over time and having to rebound or jump on a trampoline that doesn't have all of the bungees, which is always wonky because then one side of you is overcompensating and one side is here. And then you just like don't know if you're going to fall through the whole thing. So I got a new one. And my obsessive thought right now, or my loop, is that I have to take one fully apart to put one back together. And the assembly of a new rebounder is my actual nightmare.
Mine too, because typically I'm the one doing it.
No, baby, you don't do the parts where I hook the bungees over. You will like help me try and break down the fold, but I didn't even get one that folds anymore. I have just like, it's that bungee like connecting into the...
Yeah, I helped you with the one of the first ones and it was a mess.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. They really do need to come up with a better way to do it. And they also need to come up with a way to where you just buy the bungee cords themselves and reattach it.
So they do actually have that. The problem that I'm experiencing is that there are like these hooks, right, that the bungee cord has to hook into that are sewn onto the...
They're actually loops. The loops that are sewn onto the trampoline that connect to the hooks on the bungee cord. The hooks that are sewn, they are wearing down.
So my hooks... If those didn't break off, then I could just replace the bungee cord, no problem, because I have the mechanism to hook.
But here's my question, and I don't mean to put your weight on blast. I can understand that with me, but you are like 90 pounds wet. Why are you ruining the sewing? What kind of jumping are you doing?
I don't think it has anything to do with that, because I think that I'm not doing crazy jumping. You see how I jump. I'm not doing like tricks and shit and like circles of like backflip.
Parkour. No,
I'm jumping like a regular jumper. I used to do it in sneakers and ankle weights, and now I lost that. I'm doing it barefoot now.
You're doing it barefoot now?
For a while, babe.
Oh,
catch
this
up.
Is this I for, stay the fuck away.
Yeah,
from
she doesn't come into the
day.
Gym. She doesn't come into the gym
that.
Biscuits.
No.
But I just think it's not well made. It's not used to that frequent of use.
Well, you need to find one that is.
You know who I'm going to ask about?
Who?
Our next guest.
I love that idea.
I don't know that he'll have anything to say about it, but I will. Let's see what he has to say about rebounding.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Biscuits, we're back. And it's not just Raven and I anymore. I mean, Quinn has always been here. It's us with Tony Talks. Tony, welcome to the podcast.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here to talk to y'all.
We're so happy to have you. I'm going to pour you some tea. I hope you like it.
Oh, wow. Okay, that sounded very suspicious. The way
no,
you said
it's
that.
Actual what? Tea.
Okay,
like,
I love
have you ever
that.
Had black English tea? Like a PG tip?
I want to say, I mean, yeah. I mean, I drink tea.
We heard you like honey, so we have an industrial-sized, Costco size.
Oh, I love that.
But
so
I'm
going to
prepare
extra.
That for you. Don't worry. We're okay. going to sit back. My mom, growing up, mm-hmm. she always would tell us that there's no problem that a good cup of tea can't solve.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I want to know if you have a problem that Raven and I can help you solve.
Oh, we're just jumping right to that.
Right, yeah. What are your issues and how tell
I
me?
I know, like,
tell
I'll just
all
tell
them.
You all of my trauma. Yeah. No. Let's see. So something I've been thinking about on the way here, right? So imposter syndrome. We're going to get right into that, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
I feel like I've accomplished so much awesome things and that it never stops me from like achieving more or working as hard as I do. But I do sometimes find it a little difficult to appreciate some of the things that I've done, just like coming in here speaking to y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just wonder what kind of advice or magic can come from this tea that answers the problem of imposter syndrome.
Mm. Imposter syndrome is a hard one. I mm-hmm. think that, because I experienced those feelings too,
yeah.
and I think that the way to remind yourself is you and your individual life lane mm. is yours.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there is no one else that's going to be you, and there's no one else that you're trying to be. Your mark and what you're doing is simply yours, and mm. therefore there's no need for comparison. If you're invited to something, mm-hmm. it's because someone has invited you, not mm-hmm. because they think that you really shouldn't be there, but they're sending an invite for you to be there. If you're working, you're hustling, you're doing your thing, mm-hmm. and you're being respected for it or acknowledged,
yeah.
that's because of the work that you're putting out. And I think it's mm-hmm. really a relationship with yourself and yeah. how you're perceiving and judging yourself in those moments when you're mm-hmm. like, oh, should I be there? That's an insecurity. That's a mm-hmm. that's a fear thought that you just have to work right through
mm-hmm.
and trust and believe that everything that happens for you is happening for you for a reason. And
mm-hmm.
that's
Absolutely,
and I think that
yeah.
there's no way to kind of unnegotiate that.
Mm-hmm.
I love an unnegotiation. right. My advice would be to take a break. To
oh my gosh.
Set a goal, yeah. achieve it, and then stop and say, I achieved it. Because I feel what happens to me is I set a goal, I achieve it, I go to the next one. I set a
yes.
goal, I achieve it, I go to the next one.
Yes.
And I don't, and I still have this problem to this day. I don't yeah. relish in the fact of, wow, I accomplished that. Let me sit down,
mm.
sit my little ass down, take mm. a nap.
Yeah.
And then wake up and be like, wow, that actually finished. I don't have to,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And I think that can help marinate in the system of I accomplished mm. something. Now,
yeah.
there's going to be some goals that take longer than others.
Yeah.
So create different goals for yourself so you feel those accomplished moments. And then when you take that break and you take that weekend, I'm trying to get my wife to take weekends now.
Uh-huh.
When you take yeah. that weekend, you feel like you close the door on one of those challenging mm. goals and you can move on to the next and be like, wow, I did that. I did that.
I love that. So for you, naps, that's like the, that is it.
I wake
She's
up and then go back to
a nap.
I love that.
She's the queen
I
of a nap.
That. I need, I'm going to take that. Yeah, definitely didn't mean to start it off on such a serious thing, but I've really been thinking about that, you know? I really have. So
no, life
I appreciate
is serious.
That,
life is serious,
yeah.
especially in the world that we live in. I mean, you're 7 million follower comedian, like yeah. you are always working and you're always
Thank you.
Entertaining people.
Yeah.
And I think when, you know, you come on our show, we want to
yeah.
talk to you not just about that, but we just want to talk to you about you and
yeah.
who you are as a person
yeah.
and why you like Mad TV as much as I do.
Oh my gosh, Deborah Wilson.
That part!
Everything. I mean, I literally still watch, like, she does interviews now, and I literally watch her interviews now about her experience on Mad TV. and things that she's inspired by. And it, I can imagine that you really like her just because she's a very physical comedy is truly her thing. And I see that in you so much. But yeah, Mad TV. I can't tell. Now, granted, I haven't seen every single episode of Mad TV, but I've seen every single episode that Debra Wilson is in. So right. I rewatch them on YouTube consistently.
What else do you like to watch?
So Mad TV, Family Guy. Those are my two shows. I'm not going to lie to you that I keep rewatching over and over and over again.
I love Mad TV more than Saturday Night Live. And I know Saturday Night Live is still going. I get it. I have friends in it and I love you guys personally. But there was something about Mad TV that was so special.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I studied Stuart, one of the characters in Mad TV.
Yes.
And a lot of the stuff that I got for that. So Raven and Raven Baxter, I used from Stuart. And there was something magical about that crew that really did something to our generation, I think, in a real way. And the fact that it hasn't returned just kind of shows that time period of what comedy was. My wife and I are extreme fans of television. We watch a lot of TV. of TV.
We really love it.
But we also watch a lot of YouTube. Uh-huh. And
Your tea is ready now, Tony.
Your tea is ready.
Thank you.
And this is where you live.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Let me wait.
Explain to me why YouTube? Why is YouTube so addicting? What's your thought process behind it?
Because you get to choose what you want to watch. You get to choose what you want to see, you know. For some people, there are no commercials. So truly, you can just...
if you pay.
Right.
Yeah.
But you truly get the... You create your own everything with YouTube. And I think that's one of the reasons why it was important for me to be on there so I could be something you choose. You know what I'm saying? But no, I genuinely love that we can control what we see. You know, we don't... Now, granted, in a sense, you could still do that with TV because, you know, you can choose the channel you want to watch. But like, at the same time, you have to wait for, you know, your show to come on.
You can't skip an episode.
Now, granted, there's a disadvantage to that, too, though, because our attention spans are just rotting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 100%. But, you know, hey, it's either just deal with that and get to watch what you want.
As a content creator, do you feel the pressure of needing to always be on the pulse of the next trend, of thinking of the trend before the trend drops, so you're early in on it, that you're innovative and creating constantly?
So yes and no, but it's different for me because I stray away from trends a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like if you look at my page, there's not really trends that I'm following, but I'm also not one that's going to come up here and be like, I create trends and all that. I don't care that much about it. For me, I just want to create things that make me laugh.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, you know, I have an audience of people that enjoy it, who have the same kind of crazy humor. You know what
I'm
saying?
So it sounds like you're technically kind of like how you feel me against me. You've said this before, but like you against you and even topping yourself. Mm-hmm. Did you say that?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's why when you have a video that does amazing, you're in your head like, okay, well, what can I create that is just as amazing?
Yeah.
But it's in comparison of no one else. It's just you
yourself.
And you, which I feel like is cool, but also has like a disadvantage itself because I feel like that's where what I talked about in the beginning, imposter syndrome and all this other crazy stuff. But I think my journey going through all of that and being transparent about it will definitely help, you know, other people who want to be content creators or whatever they want to do in their
that life. Burnout and that self chasing, if you will, is exhausting because you have no one else to kind of put you in check in that moment other than yourself because you're constantly in battle with yourself on that.
That's why you should take a nap.
That's what, I mean, it is.
Really, I really took that and tattooed it in the back of my head.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to take a nap in the car after this.
You should. And that's also time to digest. Like kind of what Raven was saying earlier, I think that's such good advice is being able to take a step back and be mindful and be like, wow, look at what I just did and let me live in that. Because I feel like when you are in this world, it can be so fast and so much happens that you don't really get to like embody what just happened, you know?
Right.
And that's, you miss things in that way. And that's not ideal.
I 1,000% agree. And I feel like it was made like that, honestly. You know, I feel like social media and like if you don't take care of yourself, I feel like you will get wrapped into this world. Not only social media, but like stardom and stuff like that. I definitely feel like it's made in a way where if you don't value yourself, value your mental health, then you will fall into this really dark thing that was made. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I definitely try to prioritize my mental health, but it wasn't something I came into this saying I would do. You know, it just life forced me to prioritize it.
That's something that you can kind of say about a lot of comedians. Not all of them, but a lot. A lot of comedians are very to themselves, very much actually depressed humans. I'm not going to bring that up.
Yeah.
But I know that you kind of grew up with being shy and having anxiety in school. And even when you walked in here, your aura wasn't like, look at me, all eyes on me, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the influencers that are in the social media space, they have that bravado. And what I like about you, it could be because you're from Atlanta, but it also is a normal human who just understands that they have talent and that they want to show it. Instead of, I don't find that you're trying to be a celebrity.
No. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to lie to you. The young version of me, yes, I wanted to be the biggest star in the world, you know? But as you get older and you start meeting people and you start seeing different things and you start seeing how, like, everyone feels the same on the inside at some point, you know? I'm going to explain this. There's no difference from Beyonce and a cashier at Starbucks.
There is no difference.
There's no difference. You know what I'm saying?
The insides look the same. Somebody might have a worse, you know, pancreas, but like that's about it. You know, somebody might have diabetes.
Trauma, you know, all that stuff.
That's about it.
It's not, there's no difference. And I think once I understood that, the goals really started shifting to just making my inner child happy. You know what I'm saying? And truly just being able to say, I cannot wait to grow up to be you, you know? And I've been striving for that. So for me, yes, I do kind of seclude myself a little bit from other creators and stuff like that, just certain creators. Just because I do see that, you know, there are people who are headed in a direction that isn't bad, but it's just not where I want my car to go. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I've been trying to just protect myself and grow in a really awesome and authentic way.
You didn't want your car to go there, but you did sell cars at CarMax.
Wow, so you guys are amazing at transitioning. That was beautiful. Yes.
Is there a car that you sold that remains in your memory that you were like, this was a sick ass sale?
But you know what's crazy? I know nothing about cars.
That's okay.
So I was working at CarMax and had no idea. I would get in trouble for over talking. Like, I worked at the call center for CarMax. So we sold cars like remotely, or we got you guys to go. Well, not you guys, but we got like customers to go physically to the store and buy the car there. So I would set the appointments, transfer cars, all that stuff.
Got it.
But I knew nothing about cars. My thing is, I just would love to talk to people who are older than me and get life advice from them.
Oh, I love it.
So I would be on the phone for too long asking people, what would you say to your younger self and stuff like that? I kid you not.
Tony talks.
Yes.
Understood.
For real. So that was my experience at CarMax. That's why I don't know the slogan or nothing about that.
Love that for you.
So someone was like, does she have a V8? You'd be like, what is that? Juice?
Does she live in VA? Like, what are you talking about?
You're like, indolent tomatoes. Yeah. Understood. Okay, your other odd jobs.
Your other odd jobs other than making, for instance, like a musical called Boss. So what are your other jobs that you've had or other talents?
Are you talking about like, what do you mean by other jobs? Like,
so
are
for instance,
you,
I worked at a... day jobs.
Yeah, I worked at a... Baskin Robbins 31 flavors for a day.
That is...
For a day.
Because it was for like a bit, right?
No, it was... Actually, no. It was not for a bit.
Like you applied and you...
No, I did not apply.
Okay, come on now.
I had somebody who owned a Baskin Robbins and they had
wanted
me
to
work for a day.
Ice cream.
Oh, so you just...
I worked at Baskin
like
Robbins for a day.
It was like, how does that work? Like,
I sold a lot of ice cream.
Hilarious.
I'm just saying. But anyway, babes, what other odd jobs have you had?
Odd jobs that I've had. Okay. I have worked the front desk at a hair salon.
Okay.
I have been a nanny. I used to be like a mommy's helper, which is kind of, you know, nanny, but I was young at that age. Mm-hmm. I worked at a clothing store for like a week.
Yeah. Okay. You mad at me for a day. You had a week. What about you?
I know. I was like, okay, these short periods.
Yeah. we bopped.
Let me see. So we know CarMax.
Yes.
I was a server at O'Charley's.
Okay, mm-hmm. O'Charley's.
Yes. I was, a host at Olive Garden.
Ooh.
Now, granted, I did work at Hyundai for a day. So I do match you guys with this whole day trend
there
you have.
So, thank you.
Absolutely.
Did you get fired or did you quit?
I quit. It wasn't for me. So, but I, you know what's so cool about it though? Like the day I quit, I knew somebody who was also who got hired as well. And the manager gave a speech to them basically applauding the fact that I left because I knew it wasn't for me. And he applauded the fact that I left because it wasn't for me.
Like, oh, yeah, that's...
being a traditional salesman, it just wasn't my job.
I love that you knew that, though, and that you didn't waste anyone's time. I have had this conversation with my aunt before because my aunt has always known that she never wanted children. And I really respect people who know when they know things they do and don't like, and they know themselves well enough to then be able to communicate it, set a boundary, and then move on. Because people who are like, oh yeah, I think I want this, or I think I can do this, and then you end up in it and you're just like
miserable.
This is miserable. You can find a silver lining, and everyone deserves a learning curve, and maybe you go into something and you find something different. But I think there are some things in life that you just know. Like, I'm not a salesman. It's never gonna work. It's not my vibe.
Yeah.
I wanna be elsewhere. Whatever. I don't want kids. Don't have them, you know?
Right.
Easy peasy.
But you knew that you wanted to be an entertainer. Right. Can you please explain to me what Boss Up the musical is?
Absolutely. So Boss Up is a film that surrounds one of my characters that really like pushed my career, really. And I wanted to give her a backstory. You know, I wanted people to see why, because she's not the nicest. She's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lie. But we all have a little bit of that in us. So I wanted to pull that out and show everybody. Now, the cool thing about, or the purpose of the film, is to show you who you are without your job title. I feel like a lot of us are walking around as our occupations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm an actor. I am a cashier. I'm Beyonce. Like, it's just like,
I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer.
Yeah. If those titles were stripped from you, a lot of people don't really know who they are, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to be able to tell that story in a very funny, comedic way. And and I did that through my character. It's a musical. It has 7 songs. It's amazing.
You wrote everything?
Me and Ocean Kelly, and a really amazing drag queen, and artist and rapper. Let me not just give that one label. But we wrote it together, and we made it come to life.
So take us back for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You're young. You're in Atlanta. Yeah. Antonio, what are you doing that is cultivating this love of the arts for you? Are you this funny kid? What's happening?
Yeah. It's crazy you say that. I was not a funny kid. Like, I was not. I loved humor and Mad TV and Family Guy and all that stuff. But I wasn't like the class clown. In fact, honestly, I would get in trouble a lot just because I didn't like authority. Mm-hmm. So, you know, me and teachers would argue.
That tracks.
Yeah, me and my teachers would argue a lot. But I wasn't necessarily that kid. But as I got older, I used to film myself a lot with this little camcorder and reenact music videos and stuff like that. And I think that may have sparked something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I just started changing the camera and started I just started getting better at it, I guess I would say. And I started becoming who I am today. So
who was in your family that was giving you that confidence? Was there anybody?
That's a beautiful question. I would say, honestly, all of them, really, because I would do this thing, right? So when I was a kid, I would, at every birthday event, I would have this part where I would dance for my family and I would put on a show, right? It's crazy because my grandma would record it, and I haven't seen it in years, but I just remember the last time I saw it, I was doing absolutely nothing. But
he was giving us nothing.
Nothing. You know, just popping my little bird chest all around. That's it. But my family was, you couldn't tell them that I wasn't like the biggest star in the room. You know what I'm saying? And I think just feeling that is what probably pushed me to be confident enough to put myself out there. And it's crazy, you would think I would be a dancer, but no, just being surrounded by authentic love, I think, is what pushed me to continue to be myself, like on the internet and stuff.
I love that you said that your family supported you. I kind of want to go a little bit personal, being that happened. Did they support you in all your endeavors? Like, I kind of want to talk about you being a part of the LGBTQ+ family. Mm-hmm. How was that telling them not only were you a black man who was loving the arts, but you were also, are you gay?
Gay.
I just want to make sure.
No, I get it. No,
yeah, are you queer? Are you gay? Are you, I don't know.
We're in an interesting time. I get it. Thank you. But yeah.
But how did that, and especially in Atlanta, I'm guessing, you know, the church or, you know, religion was involved. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that for you as well? How was that for you?
Yeah. So I want to make sure I do note that I wasn't born in Atlanta. I was born in Virginia.
Okay.
Fairfax, Virginia.
Period.
I want to make sure I say that. But, you know, when we came out here, I think is when all the revealing of, you know, being gay and all that magical stuff. And they were supportive. I mean, I was fortunate enough, you know what I'm saying? And I wear that proudly that, you know, it could have went a different way. I was in love, you know what I'm saying? And I was hiding my boyfriend at the time. And his name is, what were you going to say?
You were hiding your, like, disguising him as a contact in your phone?
Absolutely. So his name is Kavon, but we were calling him Kayla. And, you know, he was my girlfriend.
Yes.
So my mom, my dad, you know, and it's crazy. I could have just kept it as a secret as a whole, but I was so that in love. I wanted to at least let my family know I was with somebody.
Aww.
You know what I'm saying? So I was lying about that. And I was like, yeah, you know, my girlfriend, Kayla, you know, she got me this. He would get me gifts and all that stuff and sign it under Kayla. Like, we literally
And he was down for it,
because he was in the same position on his side.
Got it.
We were, the only thing is he wasn't telling his family that, you know, we were together just because, you know, he was keeping the whole deal. Right.
Got it.
Trina.
Got it.
But
Trina,
yeah.
And Kayla.
So,
Trina and Kayla.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
Just the best love duo.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, it was, I was in love and I started slipping up a few times. Yeah. Like, I would say Kavon instead of Kayla. And then, my mom brought me in her room one day and was like, is this the new guy? And I was like, new guy? Like, this is literally my first boyfriend. But my mom just assumed I was just out. You know,
she outed you to yourself in a way.
Absolutely.
My mom kind of did the same thing to me.
Stop.
No, I'm serious. I was dating this girl. I wasn't hiding her by any means. I was just like, this is my friend. And she would just come over.
Yeah.
And one day we were driving and my mom goes, she referenced a friend of hers who was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, at least I have so-and-so to talk to about you and Rita. Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, Miranda, I am a grown woman. And there is no other grown woman having as many sleepovers as you're having with Rita.
Woman.
And I was like, okay. And she was like, it's fine, whatever. I don't care. But yeah, I never, that's why when people ask, you know, as our coming out stories, mine is always so kind of lame because I'm like, I didn't really come out.
I feel the same way. It's like, I didn't have like a whole, you know, the
moment.
Spotlight turned on, all the lights dim. The guy said, Mom, I'm gay.
Exactly.
And then that's when, you know, a big applause everywhere. Like, it, I didn't have that.
You're
going
to have to write that skit now. You're going to have to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I just got to wait for Pride and make it all grand.
Yeah. So your family was receptive.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I was fortunate enough. I have a sister who's gay. And then my other sister is figuring her life out.
Oh, all y'all
so
gay.
We all came out a little special. But my older sister, she has a family. She's, you know, she's doing her thing.
She sounds like the special one. She forgot to
get. Yeah,
she didn't get the memo.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? But no, we all came out with a little bit of little magic on us, you know?
You know, you bring up Pride.
Mm. Yes.
Pride's getting on my nerves. Personally.
Mm-hmm.
The month is starting to look like a McDonald's commercial.
With a Starbucks flair.
With a Starbucks flair.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And I'm old bitty. Listen, I'm old.
Okay.
Old and bitter.
Very bitter.
Has strong opinions.
I was out before Pride was even a month to, June was even the month. Yeah, I'm going to just cause a whole bunch of problems in the comments really fast. And listen, I'm gay. Okay. I like women.
Why are you gay?
What? Why are you gay?
Why are you gay?
Why are you gay?
Have you seen that?
I have. Absolutely.
It's the best thing. We actually are going to South Africa just to find that man.
Oh my gosh, please.
Yes.
I would love that.
Literally.
To ask him on the channel. Why are you gay?
Why are you gay? But my question to you is,
Yeah.
Listen, we can move on topics if you want to, but
yeah,
As an influencer with as many followers as you have, do you find like people come to you during Pride just to use you?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I just feel
you. But you know, it's mainly companies. Is that what you're talking about? Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, when like when certain companies would come up to you who have never, I mean, never reached out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they all of a sudden love everything you do. They love your they love you as an individual. Everything about you is amazing. But say this, say this on this day and say it just like this. And, you know, we're going to post it for you and all this and that. I absolutely hate it.
But you know what, Tony? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. What's that
means you've made it.
That part.
Absolutely.
Because when you talk about your imposter syndrome and all that, when people are coming to you and wanting to do that, that literally means that you have crossed a level into the world, into the public's eyes that they see you as a marketable person. And frankly, I'm jealous. Because I'm
jealous too.
I haven't made it there. Nobody's asking me to tell them words on a certain day at time in rainbow underwear because I'm looking right at you. I would do it. But you guys don't want me to. I'm not a good lesbian.
I think you're amazing. I think you're amazing at it.
I'm fine as a person, but I'm just not a good thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just not like rah-rah lesbian. You know? Bad coming out story. But you've made it.
I take that. I receive that.
Thank you.
But
I also
appreciate the feeling that you're having underneath it, which makes me go, you must be very particular about what you say yes to.
Absolutely. But it wasn't always like that, though. You know what I'm saying? In the beginning, it was very much whoever would come to me, you know, I'd be like, oh my gosh, yes, I'd love to do this. But I started realizing that all money is not good money. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And sometimes people will put you on a platform or whatever to make you kind of look a mess. Yeah. And it benefits them. It doesn't benefit you, you know? And I am trying, okay, to go through this industry in the most authentic and fun way as I can. And so far, I've been doing pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I try to surround myself with good people and, you know, just vibe. And it doesn't feel, I don't know, I've just been in so many rooms that it didn't feel right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I've just been trying to create the rooms that do.
I love that. I think that's so important. And a lot of times we'll hear people get asked the question of, how do you stay so grounded? You know, you have all of this and that around you and you seem so level-headed. Raven gets that a lot because she's, her energy is so normal, if you will.
Yeah.
And I feel that same energy in you. But I think that having the intentionality that you're just sharing with us is so important because it's easy to get swept up in anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be the world of celebrity and rich and famous and money. Because you can lose yourself anywhere, but it's really about knowing yourself and having your values and then going into any environment with that.
Because, you know, I can tell a college dropout when there's one in front of me.
And you got two.
There you go. That the way you did that, I felt shot for a second. Right? I was like, oh, gosh.
Bam, bam.
He made it two semesters.
I did.
How many semesters did you make it, honey?
I made it 3.5 hours. Let's go. I'm kidding.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was like, this is not for me.
Yeah, you walked in and turned around.
I was like, this kind of education is not happening. No, I just couldn't park my car. And after like a week and a half of that, I was like, I'm done.
So that was what it was.
Literally a week. She lasted a week.
I lasted actually a year and some change, and it was very difficult.
Why did you drop out?
Because it wasn't, it was the room that wasn't for me. Let me tell you something.
I was
getting more sleep there than at home. And I just was like, these class, like, it just didn't align with me. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's like, I'm just doing this to say I did it. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not going to use this for nothing. I know I don't care about half of the stuff that I know I need to learn. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I want to experience life. And I cannot do that, not straying away from going to college. It's just more so it just wasn't for me. It wasn't my journey.
I was going to say, again, that reminds me of you saying you knew that you weren't a salesman. I love that you have this innate sense of self and awareness that comes through you so clearly. Yeah. Because I feel like a lot of the times you hear people have conflicting feelings in themselves and they end up doing what society tells them they have to do. You're this age, you graduated high school, the next step is college, and then you have to go to work and it's like, no, people's paths can be different. And some people are never going to thrive in a classroom environment. It's just simply not for them. Mm-mm. And there is mm-hmm. so much.
And there's some people who need to take their ass to school.
For sure.
That's why I want. That's why I said what I said.
Some people
like, I don't
want
to stray away from college.
No. Yeah. But it depends. I mean, I have a handful of friends who are like, I wasted a ton of money. Now I have college loans and all of this stuff. I'm in debt. And I'm out here doing something that has no kind of connection back. I think college is a great setup for actually learning how to go into the workforce and how to navigate people mm-hmm. and relationships, because there's mm-hmm. so much building at that time. Of course, you get an education. Mm-hmm. But I think that you can learn whatever you have to learn from whatever environment you're in.
Yes.
But the box of putting people in there and telling you this is how you have to learn and this is the conventional sense of it doesn't work for everyone, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So what's been your favorite real life college
moment?
Wow, that was beautiful. Just because there's been so many moments. You know what's crazy, and it has, I hope I'm not going around the question by saying this, but I got to take my family to Disney World. Mm. And believe it or not, that moment was the most beautiful moment like in my entire life so far. And well, I don't think nothing will top that. I don't care what kind of accolades or whatever I end up getting. But and it's crazy. My family literally, they argued in Disney World, which is so my family. But
brand.
To go back to the question though, I feel like it was a real life like college kind of experience, just because it just showed me like things that you can do. Like, you know, like following your intuition and stuff like mm-hmm. that put me in a space to be able to do something like that. And I feel like that's just the biggest life lesson of all, that college at that time, I feel like couldn't teach me. It's just go with whatever is in your gut and just do it. And then you'll be so thankful. Like, I'm literally sitting here talking to both of you. I was literally watching, well, granted, y'all were on the other setup, but I was literally watching that a few weeks ago. And just to be here is just absolutely crazy.
I love that.
That's a life. That's a little college lesson, you know what I'm saying?
What about you, babes? What life scenario did you go through that was like, this is a college lesson for me?
I was in a writer's room. I always thought I'd grow up and write for television.
Okay.
So one of the first jobs I ever had at the age of 18, I was in John Wells's writer's room. And John is a very well-known showrunner, and he worked on ER and Shameless.
On the Pit.
now on the Pit. Uh-huh. And obviously, just sitting in that room, crazy. And also then I was on a movie set where I specifically remember the producer, Michael Tadros, mm-hmm. said to me that you will learn more on my set than you would ever be able to learn in any classroom or any kind of conservatory or anything. And I think that's really true. I think there is a lot of truth to where you want to be in your life and how much then education classroom you need versus mm-hmm. in practice. Because for sure, being on a hot set and learning there the experiences that you had with those people, you could never capture that and put it in a curriculum, you know, or in a syllabus. So
I wanna add that and it circles back to I forgot I brought something for you guys.
It's, oh my God, we love presents.
We'll get into it in a second.
Okay.
But Boss Up, when I created that film, I thought that it would be as simple as creating my content online, completely different. You know what I'm saying? I'm so used to thinking of an idea, writing it down, and filming it, and then boom, it's done. Mm. With a film, you have to slow down. You have to slow down a lot, actually. And you have to take one conversation and expand it to like a fucking hour. You know what I'm saying? And on set, I ran into so many things, being an executive producer, not knowing how to sit in that role confidently. I learned so much that I feel like college probably could have taught me, but you know, I learned there. You know what I'm saying?
It works though. So
it did. It
works.
Was real life experience. I ran into so many things that was so traumatic, but you know,
I think sometimes that there's fundamentals. Like when I look at myself in certain situations and I feel like I'm failing or I'm missing a piece or I have these wonders sometimes. I'm like, would I be more well-spoken or confident in this scenario had I had this education behind me? And I think that there is truth to that in a way where, again, having this foundational setting and then you get to put it to practice on your own can be true. But I think it depends on, again, like what type of learner you are and how much self-education you're willing to do once you're in the environment. when it comes to your process with your content, it really just is like you have an idea, write it out on a page, and then you go and film.
Yeah.
As simple as 1, 2, 3.
I take stuff like this. Everyday life experiences, I write it in my notes, and then I turn it into a script that night, or it's most likely that night. And then the next day, set up all the cameras, the lights, all that beautiful stuff, and turn in some magic. Edit it the same day, and preferably post it the following day. But if life gets in the way or I get distracted, which I do, then I push it out. But the process is actually very simple. It truly is just take life, capture it, and then rewrite it.
And that's why you're succeeding, because there's not a lot of filters. There's not, you know, an S&P. There's not a brand company you have to always say yes to. And I think that's why people really enjoy you, because they're getting such, like, in a horrible way of explaining it, but farm to table, like immediately. Brain farm to this plate that we're soaking up. And I love that.
You feel so calm. You have such a lovely, inviting energy.
Thank you.
But I know that you struggle with anxiety.
Oh, yes.
So are you like a bundle of nerves on the inside, but then you present as this really calm, together, chill person? What's the deal?
Yeah, not what's the deal. what is going on?
Well, tell me.
I think I've mastered, you know, RuPaul says it best. You know what I'm saying? I absolutely love RuPaul. And what I love about him is the drag race aspect, but his mind is just absolutely amazing.
Masterful.
I've seen almost every interview that he's done. And he said that he is an introvert masking as an extrovert.
Ooh.
And I think I do an amazing job being both. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a way of being able to walk into a room and, what I think, brightening it. You know what I'm saying? But also, I have a way of just not wanting to be around nobody because of the social anxiety and stuff like that. Because it's there. You know what I'm saying? I do walk around sometimes as a ball full of nerves, but I don't let it cripple me. You know what I'm saying? I try to do what I can to push through, because I would be so sad and so mad if I didn't.
I fully relate to you on that, because I have a lot of anxiety, and people will often say the exact thing I just said to you to me, which is, Miranda, you seem so chill and cool and calm and collected. And when I hear people say that to me, I'm like, what the fuck? Because I don't understand. I'm like, well, clearly I do something really well or mask really. I have no clue, because
you mask really well.
My inside
masking.
My insides. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Yeah. I can't get my words out. It's a clusterfuck. Anyway, I have an announcement for everyone. Today on the podcast, we're doing something that has never been done before.
Oh, no.
It's entirely new. It really just for me, to be quite frank. Okay. You guys, so sorry. But for the first time ever, we're going into our teapot and you're pulling out a random word. And I have no idea for real, what it is. Usually I always know, because I have to choose it. But I didn't.
So I'm the one choosing it?
So there's many topics in that pot. Siegel, put your hand in.
I have no clue what's in the pot.
Can I open it now?
Yeah.
I didn't want you to finish.
No. Go for it and tell us what's in there.
Okay. So many topics, right? So many things. Just that one.
Like a million.
Yeah, right there. Just that one thing.
Right.
What are we talking about today?
Exploitation.
Okay. Let's talk exploitation. I'll go first.
When's the last time
I've been exploited since I was 16 months old? I have been working for my life. Since I was 16 months old, every talent that I've had has been exploited for your enjoyment.
Hilarious. Okay.
How about
and that's
you?
Your response? From what we just witnessed?
My response is just hilarious.
I don't know. I can't top that. I don't think I have something that I feel, I'm so transparent with, like, everything. You know what I'm saying? I hadn't had anything crazy to be exploited, you know?
I'm gonna say something, though, a little bit knowing about you.
Yes.
You don't like to exploit other people, meaning you do comedy that's based on you and people around you instead of exploiting anybody else.
Absolutely. I make sure that I don't bring anybody else's mess into my world. The best way I like to put it, and it's a crazy comparison, but I like to create my page and kind of make it like Disney World. I don't want to lose you.
Yeah, I'm right here.
So with Disney World, and I think it's either Disneyland or Disney World. I think it's the one in Orlando. But
World.
you can't see the highway from the park. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because they want you to stay in the world of Disney. Like, you don't want to experience the real world. And that's kind of where that's why I have my page set up the way I do. It's because I don't talk about the politics. I don't talk about anything like that because you go to my page and all you're focused on is just this weird little magical world that I created and that's it. You know what I'm saying? So I try my hardest not to put like celebrity drama or anything like that just because it's not happy. It's not going to get me anywhere. And it's just, it's been working for me. So I keep it.
And so, babe, for you, when we talk about exploitation, the other thing that pops into my head, kind of what he was saying, but like, are you a consumer of exploitative content?
Materials?
Yeah.
Mm.
Are you a consumer?
It's deep.
On some level, yes. I feel like we all are. I feel like if you go onto social media, whether or not you are fully absorbing yourself in the headline or not, you see it, you're consuming it to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much of it. And I feel like it's such a unfortunate thing that people are wired to want that salacious kind of material and that we feed off of it. And that's what our society wants. We want to know, like, I don't know. I don't watch this show, and I'm assuming you guys don't either. Summer House?
Are you familiar with that?
What is it? Come on. Or what is it?
It's like a reality television show that is, I believe, on Bravo. But again, there's been this huge, huge scandal because I guess one of the main girls has ended up with this guy who her friend really liked. And this main girl was married. And when I tell you, though, it's become this huge conversation. I don't clearly know much about it, but I've picked up bits and pieces. And what I am extrapolating, though, is people are just feeding off of a horrible situation.
Exploitation where there was like those people's real lives.
It's their real lives. And they're being
exploited,
completely discussed and torn apart and broken down and re-put back together by other people. And it's what we, I mean, my goodness, there are a million and one examples of how we've seen this.
Yeah.
And so honestly, on principle, on God,
10 toes down.
10 toes down.
Okay.
I try to not consume that content because I believe that we are what we consume. We become what we speak. That becomes then your reality in which you live. And I don't like that. I mean, like, I'm not a tabloid person. I never was. The only time I ever looked through something like that was like Us Weekly in the grocery store line when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Stars, they're just like us. You know, that's kind of.
But we have a friend over here who loves Beyonce.
I do.
Oh,
you feed into the exploitive nature of
Beyonce?
Because there's so many conspiracies.
There's so many.
No. And the reason I don't is simply because I'm not going to say I don't care, but I admire the amount of work this woman has put. Now, I'm not a part of the Beehive. I'm not I'm not a sit here and tell you every single song and her whole life. I don't know all of that. But what I can say is I admire someone who has stayed out of issues and is able to still come out, do her thing, then go back home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that. Regardless of what the conspiracies are of this and that, I don't really know all of them. I just see a woman who works and then goes home.
Yeah.
And I feel like, of course, you're going to have things about you if you're doing things like that. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like there's a lot of celebrities that love to exploit themselves.
Yeah.
And use that as a part of their celebrity in order to further their career. And then there's like Beyonce and others where it's like, let me do my talent and then let me go home, have my babies and call it a day.
Is exploitation ever positive?
I think so.
I think it can be. Exploiting, I guess, the right things. But I don't know. It has like a negative connotation to it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it does. And I think that the reason it does is because, again, it's that it's humans, even though we say we have anxiety and we don't like to be frayed, we love dipping our toe into something that's a little bit scary. Like, we like to be afraid. We like to see the dirt on things. We like that. And to what you were saying earlier, Miranda, is like, I actually do not consume exploitive material because that material has now turned into AI-based content.
Oh my God.
Correct.
It is crazy. My mom sends me videos. It's like, Raven Simone is a dog. And I'm like, whoa. It's not real.
Yes. That's like, well, because it's starting to look more and more real. And then I think certain AI videos don't have to have that, you know how you can kind of tell because it has a label, the Sora label?
Yeah, have the video anymore.
But I think some of them don't have to have that anymore. So it's just, we're headed to an interesting time. I'm not going to lie, but I'm so glad that we are in the age that we're in because, you know, we won't have to be here for like when the world starts doing its thing.
But I do wonder if there's a bit of a difference between like dramatization, tabloid fodder, rumor than exploitation. Because when you talk about being exploited at 3 years old.
Yeah.
I was joking.
I know. Okay.
It sounded very traumatic.
I'm writing a book.
But what you're actually speaking to is being, like, I would like the definition of exploited to really like tuck into this. Because at 3 years old, what you're actually talking about is I've been taken advantage of, for better lack of a word, or set up in a way where I now am going to have to work and I'm doing this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like there's a difference between celebrity like gossip and headline news than maybe being exploited. And I'm sure they clearly cross over at some place. But
okay, I have your definition.
Thank you.
Exploitation is the act of taking unfair advantage of a person, group, or resource for selfish gain, often involving coercion, manipulation, or abuse. It involves using someone's labor or vulnerabilities for another one's profit or improperly utilizing resources.
Okay, I retract everything I said. You were exploited.
What you said. Yeah, like, how is that good?
The end. And can we put a positive spin on it? I don't know.
I was looking for that because that was a completely negative like definition. Yeah.
But I again, this is just we love a quick Google search. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's always about abuse or coercion.
Okay.
And at the same time, we're in Hollywood, and we kind of touched on a little bit about like pride, where these companies love the new gay world. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have talked to us beforehand, but we also want you to say what we want you to say and say it for this time, and it's our gain, and they'll manipulate you to get there.
Yeah.
Abuse looks different all kinds of ways.
Absolutely.
And for the record, I was joking at the very beginning about being exploited, even though there is a version of it, and I feel like, especially with child stars and the things that a lot of child stars go through, there is a version of exploitation because technically we're underage.
Yeah.
And we can't make full decisions for ourselves.
Yeah.
So there is a version of that, but please don't take that the wrong way, AI, and then create a whole video about it. I don't have time for this.
Do you want to know my favorite AI video about Raven and I?
Please.
There was this whole thing depicting this argument that she and I had at a restaurant.
Okay.
And it goes...
This didn't happen, right?
Never.
We don't even eat at restaurants.
Not even remotely, like, no. It was so fucking made up.
Okay.
And it said that Raven Simone and Miranda had a fight at a restaurant that I ended up throwing water in her face, that Raven storms out and leaves, that we and I end up yelling something, or no, Raven yell, I'm not even gonna say it because it'll somehow get taken some way, but I'll tell you off camera what I yelled in this fake fight.
Social media is exploiting humans on an overall.
Oh my God, all the time.
It's a trend. It's a trend, and now there's a new way to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just gonna keep getting better and better and better and easier for people to them. You say one thing that doesn't resonate with somebody, it's easy for them to slide to their other computer and then do a little, because, you know, they have two computers.
So scary.
And go over here and do their little thing and
get their AdSense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else I wonder?
What's up?
You know how when a celebrity or somebody says something and they post it online and they take it down?
Yes.
And because they're like, oh, this is wrong. But someone has already recorded it.
Absolutely.
Got it. Or you're hearing like the follow-up of it's now been deleted, but and I'm like, who are these people that are so on these people's dicks that they're literally the second it posts, I have it.
Yes, their job.
It's insane.
And it goes back to the whole rage baiting, I think it's
rage baits. Oh, rage.
Yeah, it goes back to all of that. Like, their job is to go on their third computer, not the second one. That's for commenting. So they go to their third computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's to go over there and watch different accounts and, you know, wait for you to mess up. And I find it so crazy, but it's just, that's what we're in. You know what I'm saying? And if you get too consumed into all of that, then you turn into that.
It's like,
know?
TMZ. TMZ has people whose sole jobs are to be in the files of things. So they know when someone's died, when someone's gone into labor, when somebody is arrested.
I mean, that's what ET used to do back in the day, but they weren't as invasive. And, you know, it's just become more invasive. But I do want to bring it back a little bit to the positive and say, I think that's why we need more people like you. And that's why we do what we do and why you're so amazing, because there is that balance of making sure that, you know, not just the negative, not just the abusive, not just the gimme gotcha rage bait, but there's also good content to consume for entertainment, for just calming, and also art, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm grateful for both. Yeah, and the reason I say that is because it's important to have the bad so you can appreciate the good. You know what I'm saying? So as much as we hate it, unfortunately, it has to be there. It was said in The Incredibles, I think, where it was like, I forgot who said it, but if everyone's a superhero, there's no superheroes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we need all of that extra stupid stuff, as long as the good people just aren't there.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Our biscuits, who are our listeners, submit anonymous tea, gossip, drama to us. Okay. And then every week we put it in the pot and read it. There's two on there, babe. So just pick which one you want.
Here we go.
Okay.
I think I'm doing this right. You asked for some crazy story, right? Let me tell you about the time that I found out I was allergic to bees.
Okay.
At the time, I had a fiance from France and FaceTiming him at my parents' house. I was in their backyard laying out in the pool while I was on the phone. I noticed I got stung. Within minutes, I started having cold and hot sweats, vomiting, and I might add, explosive diarrhea.
Oh, this is an allergy for sure.
My throat started to close up as well. And in a panic, I called my dad. Between breaths, I said, "What the heck do I do?" He advised I called 911. Wait, he advised? But you can't talk. Why did he call him?
Somebody call 911. Okay, it's an obvious thing. Come on now.
I had the paramedics and the fire department show up within minutes. At the time, I worked at my local Trader Joe's, and there were very attractive men in uniform come to my parents' place. As I opened the door, I noticed I didn't tie the strings to my bikini, so my strings were dangling down my jean shorts. My face was swollen. And as I'm in the bathroom throwing up, I'm peeing out of my ass. I'm getting knocks on the door saying, "Lindsay, we need to get in."
Lindsay, you just unanonymized yourself, okay?
This is all from one bee snake?
There's more.
She really is allergic.
There's more. Excuse me, sir, you know my name? Yes, they shopped at Trader Joe's and knew me. It gets worse. So I finally come out of the bathroom. My parents' dogs are going absolutely nuts to me. I am unrecognizable. They get me in the couch. I'm finally calmed down because they gave me a Benadryl. Oh, thank God. Then Then one of the paramedics, who ended up being one of my high school best friend's brothers, girl, you need to move.
Yeah, too close.
Had to ask me where I got stung. Well, I was at my parents' FaceTiming when my fiancé from France, and I was in a bikini, got stung right between my upper inner thigh.
That's called the vagina.
Right?
My vagina. It's actually called a vulva.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, anyway. Oh.
If she was stung in her vagina, that would be
all up in her. The vulva's on the outside.
See,
the vulva is
know.
The whole, the
I
vulva is
know
the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Looked like a sea urchin swallowing a grapefruit. Girl. Wow. I was waiting to get waxed the next day, and I had let it grow out a little bit. A little too wild. The fire department guys and the paramedics said that they needed to see where I got stung and rub ointment on it. Right there in the middle of my parents' living room, I had to lift my leg, show them the bee sting.
Her bee sting and her bush.
I mean, the fact that she typed all of this. I mean, did she leave her name too?
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
I didn't catch that.
She outed herself.
No, the guy from Trader Joe's outed her. The following day, when I tried to go to my waxing appointment, I turned away because my vulva was, and I quote, too big still.
Okay.
I had to wait to get waxed until I was in France. The woman that was graciously doing my waxing spoke very little English and told me to sit like a frog to become a princess.
And scene.
The way that that story, it seemed like escalated every 2 seconds, is crazy. And then she had the nerve in the beginning to say, I don't know if I'm doing this right, but here's everything that just happened. That is crazy.
I have a couple of questions for Lindsay.
Yeah.
How in the fuck did a bee get in your upper thigh? What were you doing? Were you spread eagle tanning?
Oh,
your
yeah. She had her leg pressed up somewhere.
Right?
Somewhere with a window open.
Period. Also, just stick with me for a second, okay? So, in the women's positivity body movement, there are some people who are like, hair, body hair. Don't tell me that I have to be perfectly waxed. Let me have grown out armpits. Let me have a full bush. And one of the things that people often say is, you have pubes for a reason. You have pubes for a reason because they're there to protect you.
To filter.
But those pubes did nothing for her. They protected nothing.
Because realistically, what is it protecting you from?
Bacteria, the elements.
But technically...
But it can still get to your skin.
But wait. Let me play devil's advocate.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I'm so confused.
You guys, the bee didn't go in the vulva. The bee didn't go in the vagina. It stopped at the hair.
But it still stung her, though.
It still got her.
It probably had anxiety, honestly, and it didn't know what to do.
It was a busy bee that stung.
Yeah, I resonate with the bee.
I resonate.
I would have did the same thing.
Yeah, you would have stung
your
way out of there.
In like a hairy bush. You don't know what's up.
I do feel bad for you. I do feel bad for you, Lindsay, because everybody from Trader Joe's now knows the paramedics, the fire department.
Yeah. Everyone.
You're in a really small town. My advice would be to move.
Move.
Yeah,
and also, move to France.
My advice to Lindsay is, if you are that severely allergic to bees that it's causing you to shit out your ass and puke at the same time.
Piss out of her ass.
Well, she didn't know. She found out. That was her first time.
I missed that part.
Didn't it say she was...
You are correct.
Okay.
She's stuck in a bag by the vulva.
I also thought that she was already in... I thought this happened in... France, but it didn't happen in France.
No, she was at her parents' house.
Right. Okay.
And then she was on FaceTime with her boyfriend as she got stung. So she was obviously doing something she wasn't supposed to be doing on FaceTime with her legs open talking to her boyfriend. And that's why that bee got up in there.
European men like a full bush. Like, she could live that out loud and not have to worry about this waxer. That's
now, this
about the
is exploiting
waxer.
Lindsay. I mean, really.
We are really going in. But she exploited herself.
And we're just helping.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
My confusion is that she started all the throwing up and, you know, pooping on herself and all this and that, and went to Trader Joe's after.
She did.
I don't understand that part of the story, that she was well enough to get up and go to Trader Joe's after. I thought she had it, and then she went to Trader Joe's after.
No, I think the people from Trader Joe's came.
Oh, I missed a whole...
I think the policemen are also...
She goes, sir, you know my name? He goes, yes. And she said that they shopped at the Trader Joe's and knew me.
The paramedic.
She never went to Trader Joe's.
No, she worked at Trader Joe's.
Oh,
My problem is also with your parents, Lindsay. The fact that your dad didn't call 911 for you and asked you to call 911 for yourself is crazy.
Right.
That's such a dad thing, I feel. Like, my dad would probably say the same thing.
Get better, dad.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds very...
Straight.
Terrible. But I can make a skit about it. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay.
You should make a skit about it.
Yeah.
I'm just confused. If she was behind the closed door, how did the paramedic who shopped at Trader Joe's know that it was the same Lindsay? Like, what? How did he make that connection?
Oh, my God.
Because there's, like, more than one Lindsay.
I think Lindsay
needs to be on the show.
Oh, she opened the
door. She opened the door, and she noticed that the strings on her bikini were loose, and they were hanging to the jean shorts, so she ran to the bathroom.
We're going back.
And then when she was in the bathroom and all the dogs were going nuts, she was unrecognizable. Mm. Then her parents gave her the Benadryl and saved her. So technically, she didn't even need to call anybody because all she needed to do was take a Benny.
A Benadryl.
You know what this is like? This is reminding me of a note session on a script. I learned how to ask these questions in John Wells' writing room. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much, John. You've taught me so well. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've broken that down. And I think we need a stronger character arc for Lindsay. Yeah. But
you write that skit, you let us know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll tag both of you in it.
Thank you very much.
And Lindsay, if we can find her. Yeah. I can't wait to see
who plays the bee. You should get Mr. Bean to play the bee.
Absolutely.
Let's toast.
Pick up your teapot and toast it out.
Wait, is Raven not toasting?
It's good.
There's a distance. Let's toast.
Mm-hmm. Let's sip, sip.
Today on the podcast, we are toasting to a Chicago area cooking club named the Rolling Scones. That's cute.
Okay.
At the Sunrise of Crystal Lake Retirement Community. Mm. Jamie Murphy leads about 8 seniors in cooking classes every week, and the members say the club has helped them get their creativity back. That's so cute. Cheers to the Rolling Scones and to Jamie Murphy.
I am definitely going to send my mom to
a retirement community.
Yeah. Would you send your parents to a retirement community?
I don't think they would want that.
Yeah.
They never do.
They never do. We'd have to blindfold them and just put them in the back of the trunk.
Exactly.
Drop them off.
Exactly.
And give them some Rolling Scones.
We tell them they're going to Disney World and then we just drop them all off.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? They would love it. Yeah.
They would wonder why it's being done in the way that it is, but it's a part of Disney. It's Disney magic.
It's the Disney magic.
We would have to tranquilize all of them.
Especially
like
ours.
Have to do in the wild with when they have
horse
to like
tranquilize.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like bears.
When they have to like bring a bear in from the wild to like, I don't know, cut its claws or something and then tranquilize it. And then we would have to do that with all of our parents.
I love that.
So, Tony, tell us where we can find you, what you're doing next.
Yes. So I am Tony Talks everywhere. Fortunately enough, I was able to claim that username on all platforms.
Yes.
Except for TikTok. That's officially Tony Talks. But other than that, I am now working on a book and it's already done. But that's what I brought you guys. I forgot to give it to you. But imagine them holding a book right now. So they have
Tony's book.
Yeah, the Boss Up book. Look how beautiful it is. Oh my gosh. But it's my, there you go. It's my very first book. It's about the film Boss Up, but I am refilming the film. It's a whole new story and it's a bigger version, I would say. And I wanted to write a book so I can raise money to just, you know, I don't want to pay for it all myself this time. So I want to do it this way. I don't feel comfortable asking fans for money. Yeah. So I wanted to give them something. And that's what the book is.
I love this for you.
Your book is beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And y'all will be the first two to have it.
Thank you, Tony.
Absolutely.
Thank
you, Tony. You're welcome.
Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. It's been lovely to get to know you.
Thank you.
I thank you for your time. Babes, close us out.
Thank you to all the biscuits that wash today and watch every week. We love you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have any comments, please put them down there. But if you have any anonymous stories that are absolutely crazy about your vulva and a bee, I mean about anything, you are more than welcome to hit us up and we might feature what you have to say in the teapot. Bye.
Pioneer.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.